With our new spring and summer schedule, we bring you now a new feature called Pick of the Month, presented by Colleen O'Connor. The new show highlights some of the most interesting stories on Radio Prague in the month of March.
Hello, and welcome to Pick of the Month, a new feature which takes a quick look back at some of the highlights in our programming over the past 30 days or so. You may have heard us reporting last month on architect Jan Kaplitsky's controversial blob-like design for the new National Library building. In her letter from Prague, however, Pavla Horáková preferred to focus on the state-of-the-art library services that will be offered at the new facility, which will house around 10 million books that can be retrieved for readers within 5 minutes of ordering them. A far cry, she says, from her days as a student when she used to visit the current National Library in the historic Clementinum building near Charles Bridge.
In my time, the Clementinum's so-called Hall of Services was a huge space with rows and rows of ancient card index boxes. In them you could find thousands of file cards, the size of a postcard, in different states of disintegration. To be fair, some were only a few decades old, but there were a lot of those whose colour had turned to yellowish-brown after they'd been touched by thousands of fingers. Most were typewritten, but many also filled out in 19th-century calligraphic handwriting. When I found my desired book in the box, I copied the numbers and details onto a form, which I then slipped into a sort of a letterbox. I was to come back hours or even days later to pick up my book. At that point, I was often told that it had been lent to someone else or that I used the wrong card index box and chose a copy which cannot be taken away. After several failed attempts like that, I just gave up on the National Library altogether.
Pavla Horáková there, remembering her days as a student in the National Library. The depressing sound of Czech white power music, as featured in an edition of Panorama by Dita Asiedu, which looked at right-wing extremism and the neo-Nazi skinhead movement in the Czech Republic. Many experts on the subject whom Dita interviewed say that the problem is not as acute as it was in the early 1990s, but that there are still some nasty, racist elements in Czech society. One of the people Dita talked to was a Chinese woman, Lev Shu, who has been living in Prague for around 8 years.
I don't have that much experience about skinhead, but my colleagues, they had. One of them, he had experience 3-4 years ago, and in metro station Mustaq. He wanted walking out from metro to outside, and just one guy, skinhead, something like 25 years old, around 25 years old, just walk in front of him and start beat him. Actually, somebody around them, they could see, but they don't know what to do. They didn't help. Another person, she's a lady, something around 40 years old. She, one day evening, around 9 o'clock, she went back home. Standing in front of the gate, main gate, tried to find a key, open the door. But two young boys came to her. They hit her nose, and her nose bones will be broken. And police found them. One is very young, even less than 18 years old. Another one around 20.
But you yourself, you say you've not had any experiences with skinheads?
I don't have that much terrible experience. But just a few months ago, I was walking on Václavský Square. And there were a small group, something around 10 people. They were shouting something, but I don't know what exactly they're shouting about. But I saw them, I don't think they looked friendly. And I tried to turn from Václavský Square to the main post office. They were following me, looking at me really unfriendly. I was scared, really scared. So we're walking around till I find the gate to main post office. I jumped in and said, wow, I could take easy now at least.
Chinese woman Lev Shu there, talking to Dita Asiedu. Now for an edition of Spotlight last month, Jan Wellinger went to the UNESCO-listed town of Kutná Hora, which boasts the spectacular St. Barbara's Cathedral, as well as a macabre ossuary which houses sculptures made from the bones of around 40,000 people. Thanks to silver mines in the area, it was also the site of the Royal Mint in medieval times. Jan paid a visit to the old coin-striking works there, which is open to the public.
We're just about to see a demonstration of how master minters worked. Traditionally, 15 were employed hammering out an incredible 2,000 coins over 12 hours each day, 7 days a week. Says Rudolf Bezvoda, who greets tourists viewing the mint, many of those master minters eventually lost their hearing from the constant clanging of hammers. And although they were extremely well paid in their day, not many lived to what one would call a ripe old age. But it was perhaps even worse for local prisoners.
Local crooks who had been caught had to help by placing or setting the coin, and if the minter happened to miss, they got the full hammer's blow across their fingers. There's even a saying in Czech that when you're bad, you get whacked across your fingers. The prisoners had to put up with it for a month, and if they weren't crippled by the end of it, they stood a chance of getting pardoned.
All I can say is ouch.
Jan Wellinger there, who paid a trip to the town of Kutná Hora for an edition of Spotlight.
You are listening to the Legal Free radio station in Czechoslovakia. We appeal to all radio stations, please.
A brief clip from British director Leslie Woodhead's docudrama Invasion, which recreates the events of the Russian occupation of Czechoslovakia in 1968. Woodhead's film was based on the testimony of Zdeněk Mlynář, a member of Alexander Dubček's inner circle and one of the architects of the Prague Spring, who defected to the West in the 1970s. For our one-on-one feature last month, I spoke with Leslie Woodhead when he paid a visit to Prague. And I asked him how reliable Mr. Mlynář's version of the events of August 1968 was.
He really was a superb witness. He remained a committed Marxist and had some wonderful circumlocutions. I'll never forget him saying when they were sitting in Dubček's office on August the 22nd, 1968, he said, at this point, the contradiction sharpened. And I said to him, well, what the heck does that mean? And he said, a dozen Soviet soldiers burst through the door with Kalashnikovs. Only a theoretical Marxist could describe such an appalling event in such a cold way. But he was a marvelous witness, and through his very detailed account, we were able to build a drama documentary to try and tell the story of Prague 68.
You actually revisited that theme then in 1991 when you had a meeting with Dubček. What was it like meeting with Dubček, and what did the man himself make of all of this?
After the Velvet Revolution, which of course I followed with tremendous interest, we got a call from Dubček to say, I would like to see Invasion, the film that you made in 1980 about the Soviet invasion, which was kind of extraordinary. It then became clear that Dubček had seen something of Invasion when he was in exile in Bratislava. It spilled over the border from Austrian television, and he saw some of it, but he wanted to meet the people who'd made it. So I came to Prague with some colleagues, and we sat in Dubček's office and viewed Invasion together with him, which was something I shall never forget. He was immensely riveted on the screen and in what was going on. He followed every nuance of the story with little exclamations and nods and absolute absorption. I'll never forget the moment where we showed the scene where the Soviet leadership marches into the meeting with the Czechs, and Dubček was looking at the screen and he said under his breath, "Demagogue." Which I thought was a thrilling moment, but he kept saying, it was just like that, that's right, which was tremendously validating, as you can imagine.
British docudrama director Leslie Woodhead recalling a meeting with Alexander Dubček in an edition of One on One. The unmistakable psychedelic sound of the Plastic People of the Universe. The rock band who were the catalyst for the Charter 77 human rights movement, which came into being after the communist regime clamped down on the group in the mid-1970s. The Plastics were the inspiration behind Czech-born playwright Tom Stoppard's latest drama, Rock and Roll, whose Czech version premiered at the end of February. Rock and Roll focuses on both the Czech and British intellectual milieus of the 1970s, and captures the creeping disillusionment of that era, which emerged in the wake of the Soviet occupation of Czechoslovakia. For his Czech books feature, David Vaughan talked to the Czech translator of the play, Jitka Slopova.
I was 15 in 1968, but I still remember this enthusiasm, and which hasn't declined after the occupation. It went on and on. Normal people were still slightly optimistic. It's very well put in the play that it was until April 69 when Dubček was forced to resign.
And I have a feeling that one of the strengths of the play is that it shows to an English-speaking audience very powerfully how in a totalitarian society, you can't assume that the authorities will leave you alone if you just remain quiet. Sooner or later, you become compromised. Mm-hmm. That's something that Czechs, I think, are very familiar with. So to what extent can that message be translated to a Czech audience in the Czech version of the play?
Well, I think very well, because it reflects the Czech literature, the dissident literature, and I think even the official literature had such themes. So I think when seeing this, one realizes that there is, of course, also a way not to get into trouble, but it's sort of a death of your social life, of your inner life even. I think that everybody still remembers this state of soul. So I think that's also what works in Stoppard's rock and roll here in Prague.
Translator Jitka Slopova there, who was talking to David Vaughan in an edition of Czech Books. And that excerpt brings us to the end of today's Pick of the Month. Before I go, I'd like to remind you that you can find complete versions of all the reports you heard today